Let's just start from verse 6. The way I'm going is verse 10 and 11. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It said, let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Now again, quickly open to the book of Romans chapter 12. It said, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. And that will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I am going to start with these two scriptures today to continue our discussion on the law of faith. And I believe very strongly that in recent times, it's one of the most important things that I'm having to pass across to people. Don't ever forget that Jesus said, we read from the book of Mark chapter 11, verse 24. He said that, therefore I say unto you, when you pray, if you ask for anything, he said, believe, or like I explained, that was a condition he was explaining. That if you can come to that point and you go ahead and exercise that faith, that is, believe that what you have asked for, what you have asked for will be given to you, say you most certainly have that thing which you asked the Lord for. And I've been explaining, and I must emphasize it again, that Jesus was given a condition which, if fulfilled, absolutely nothing will be impossible to the person who can fulfill that condition. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, in life, it's essentially a battle of faith. That is, it is not the person who can walk the hardest, but the person who can believe the most. That's the person that will get the most out of life. You are getting what I'm trying to say. It's not just a matter of struggling. In fact, struggle is absolutely out of it. Paul explained that anyone who wants to achieve much in life, his struggle should be to enter into the rest of God. And that what Satan tries to do in life is to bring down your faith. Do you follow my point? That is, when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, come. That is, Peter was on the waters, and he said, come. He said, if it is you, ask me to come. And Jesus told him simply, come. And Peter began to walk according to the instruction that God had given him, which was walk on water. But Satan, realizing that if Peter can keep his eyes focused on walking on water and have his imagination complete about not sinking, there's no how he will not succeed in walking on water. There was something Charles Carp said long ago about that experience. He said that he believed very strongly, where he said the Lord revealed that unto him in explanation in his heart, that Peter was not ready for water walking faith. And that Jesus only said he should come because he asked that if it is you. He gave Jesus one simple condition, that if you don't say I should come, that is not you. So, do you understand? And Jesus said, well, since it is me, the only option I have is to tell this fellow to come. And he told the guy to come. That Jesus knew very well this guy was going to sink, that his faith cannot walk on water. But he said, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, all right, go ahead and come. And as he was coming, and he was taking some giant steps of faith, that Jesus was watching, knowing that this guy will soon sink. And like I said before, you see, every time the Lord will use the opportunity to teach the laws of the Spirit. So when the man began to sink, he said, why did you doubt? That is, the reason why the man doubted, let me explain it now, using the words of Charles Capps and my own understanding now, that the reason why the man doubted was because he was not yet ready for that level of walk in life. That is, in his heart, he could not imagine that a man will be on water, and despite what the circumstances around will be saying, he will not sink. Do you get my point? And that's just the way it is even in our own current day life. that sometimes people look at it, you look at the events happening around, and the person will conclude, I went to buy a phone a few days ago, and that was the same conclusion that guy gave. He said that it is not possible to have a company not making food operate in Nigeria. I wasn't in the mood for arguing with him, so I left him. What led to the discussion was that I bought a Nokia phone, and I opened it and found made in India. I never seen Nokia phones made in India. I knew they could be made. The most popular one was found that made in Hungary and made in Finland. All right? And I said, so, okay, how come this one is made in India? And, of course, it was a real Nokia phone. And they gave me a full one-year warranty on it. And so discussions went into that they are making Nokia phones in India now. And why are they not making it in Nigeria? Do you understand? So I said that the people they are wrongly taught, that these people don't tell them the truth, that Nigeria has a very big market, all right? And he said no, that they have been told the truth. I said no. I was reading The Economist. That was about 2 weeks ago, The Economist, and there was an analysis there. That report showed that the problems in Africa. I wasn't talking about Nigeria. That the problems in Africa are overstated. All right, and they did a survey on it, and they realized that the problems in the country are overstated, that is, in most of Africa. That because of that, sometimes foreign companies who come in, they offer bribes and nobody's asking them for it. Because in their minds, they believe that you can't do anything without bribery. And even when you are not asking them for it, they start offering, thereby worsening the situation that's on ground. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, this guy I was having a discussion with, he was so vehement in that, look, you can't operate in Nigeria, that those reports are correct. I realized that this man is not here to be reasoned with. All right? He hasn't read the report I have read, yet he's insisting that the way things have been presented in the outside world about the problems in Nigeria, all right, and a lot of African countries, that they are accurately stated. I said that was the reason why when telecom in Europe was suffering badly, all of them were having serious downturns in their businesses, that they offered Vodafone and Co. the opportunities to create GSM in Nigeria. And if Vodafone has stepped in there, you can be sure they would have been the one controlling the GSM market in Nigeria now. But they believed the lies that they were told. Are you getting my point? Therefore, they refused to step in. But fellow Africans who understood how things worked around here stepped in, and they are reaping the reward. In Nigeria right now, the company that has the highest turnover on a monthly basis is MTN. They are unbeatable. Before that, it was Nigeria Breweries. What Nigeria Breweries was making in 6 months, MTN makes it in 1 month in a matter of turnover. You are getting my point. And this is the one that, just by the way, the one that everybody is begging to distribute for them. You know, Nigeria Breweries is different. They're so cumbersome to distribute for them. But MTN, every young boy distributes for MTN. This is just by the way, again, I went for a convention the other time, that's last weekend when I was not around. And I said, I wanted to send somebody to go and buy a card. They said, no, that boy sells cards. He just went into the hotel room, pulled out his cards, and said, oh, guy, you want card now? You are getting what I'm trying to say. That is now, and look at how much they are turning over, because they refuse to believe the lies that somebody else told. Now, what I'm explaining is that's how life is. The battle is a battle for what? Faith. It's the battle, because once you can believe, Jesus said, nothing is impossible to the person that can believe. Are you getting my point? That is, when you take that faith. Now, I don't want to go over all of that again, because we have laid this emphasis in the previous days that we have been speaking about this. But please remember, that is the main focus. I explained something the last time we met, and you know, I wanted to talk about the change of name of Abraham, but I've not been able to get there, but I'll still get there. Maybe today, maybe not. But what I emphasized last time is the fact that it is God that personally trains you in faith. Are you getting my point? Don't forget this. Once you are able to see something, now when we're talking about seeing, I mean in your heart, the process can be concretized. You can imagine how something will be. Are you getting me? Then that means that you have a full persuasion of faith. And listen, if you can get to that point, what you believe for will most certainly happen. Let me emphasize this again, that what God needs is people of faith. That is, when God wants to transform a nation, like Nigeria as an example, or whichever country you are in, Botswana, South Africa, they have their own problems. Ghana, everywhere, even the United States, they have their own problems. Whichever country you are in, when God wants to transform the problem in there, it needs somebody who can believe that it can be transformed. Are you getting my point? Not just believing that No. We know that God can do anything. No, people who will be ready to stake their Isaac on the fact that they know this thing can be done, or not only can be done, will be done. And it is in the life of those people that God releases his power. And we have discussed that before. That is what we call grace. Are you getting my point? Remember, I said something a few meetings ago. I said that, listen, this is the way it works. Like now, I say many things that God can do or will do in the lives of people. You say, how will it happen? I said there is what is called time and what? Chance. What is time and chance? Time and chance are, in my own words now, they are the events that God has set in motion. They are the helps that God has placed in strategic places. They are structures created before you came on ground, in which God now opens the door of opportunity for you to step into it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? That is somebody who had nothing, maybe he had just about 100 naira, that's all he has, that is his own. God says, look, if I want to make you control billions of naira, all I will do is arrange events to bring those things your way. Do you get my point? That's what we call time and chance. For that reason, in my heart, I can't imagine now, or let me put it like this, there is virtually nothing, materially speaking, that I cannot imagine that God can do for anybody, even in this country. But I said, life is a battle of what? Faith. So what Satan has tried to do, and has succeeded in the lives of most people, is to take away their faith. So a young man will say that, yes, I have a job that pays me maybe about 3 million naira per annum in Nigeria of today. And I mean, I go home with most of my money. But no, once you can give me a visa to America, I will give it up and go there. You say, why? He said, does not, and that when you get there, what do you want to do? He said, it doesn't matter. Let me just get there first. Now, this is a place he has never been to. Are you getting my point? He said, which job will you do when you get there? He said, it doesn't matter. That is, his faith has been taken away. Don't ever forget that. It's very important, because that's what Satan tries to do. And you see, the assignment you have, therefore, is to war a good warfare in your faith. That's why the Bible talks about fighting the good fight of faith. It's a fight to maintain your faith. I mean, if INEC does what they do again, more faith will collapse. Do you get my point? After you observe what happened in the last elections in this country, listen, faith, the faith of people, that thing is set up to make the faith of people collapse. You have prayed for the country, because, interestingly enough, a lot of people hung the manifestation of certain things on the transformation, all right, of this government. Then they began to see what was happening, and then they realized that, our deliverance seems to be still farther away. You get my point? That is what Satan is doing, is to weaken their faith. But no, one thing I have come to understand, and my faith won't get weak, is that when God turns again the captivity of Zion, it will be like a dream. If we could project it that election 2007, everything will become rosy, then it may not exactly be the deliverance of God. What we are saying is that it will happen suddenly. Are you getting my point? I remember then when Dia and Co were about to be killed by the late Abacha. Tony Bakari said something. He said, by this particular date, if they are not dead, they will be saved by an overnight miracle. By that date, they were not dead, and the man said, no, how? These guys are not dying again. They will be saved by an overnight miracle. Going by the events that was going on, those guys were going to die shortly. Then the man who planned to kill them, they woke up one morning, and it was announced that he was dead. That I'm using that one to emphasize the meaning of overnight miracle. When God does something, what? Suddenly, you know? Something we did not expect. And see, I'm saying all of these things to keep our minds focused and keep our hearts strong, that once you believe something, all right, it will most certainly come to pass. Are you getting me? And that the circumstances of life, they are engineered to make you disbelieve. Satan does not have enough power. PDP does not have enough power. All the devils on this earth, they don't have enough power to prevent the manifestation of God in your life if your faith is unshaken. Are you getting my point? Therefore, when you hear reports in life, what do? You focus on the word of God to increase your faith. Now, let me continue that thing I was saying, that it is God that trains people in faith. It is not that you just make up your mind and you find out that you are so strong. And something I said earlier is that actually what God does is to give you, or let me say like this, he trains your eyes to see. That was why I started this evening, by reading from Romans chapter 12. He said that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, this is the point I want to understand, that remember I said this before, that once you can see, that's in a spiritual form now, that is in your heart, you can conceive it. The imagination of your heart can play it out. Something that you want done in life, all right? That most certainly for you, faith is a matter of ease. Are you getting me? That this one that you wake up, I've said this several times before. This one that you wake up in the morning and say that, yes, I confess that I believe. It's because you have not yet believed. I don't know whether you're getting what I want to say. That you are trying to persuade yourself that you believe. The truth is that you don't yet believe. No, I'm telling you, I'm not saying that conversion is bad. You are still on it. You are still walking. But you have not yet reached the point. Do you follow my point? I mean, I can't remember the number of days I came out in the morning and looked at my car and said, this car, I confess that it is my own. It doesn't cross my mind until the policeman stops me on the road and says, who owns this car? Like when I was coming, I got to a checkpoint. Can I see your papers? He said, who owns this car? I looked at him and said, it belongs to me. Listen, that's the first time in recent times I'm confessing that the car is mine. You are getting my point? Because I know it is mine. I don't doubt it. So I don't wake up every morning trying to convince myself that it is mine. But before it came, you can be sure that I wake up in the morning and say, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I receive. Aha. You see, now you are getting my point. I'm not saying that exercise is not good, though. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just using it to emphasize to us that once you have seen something, really, it becomes a part of you. You are not trying to work it up in your heart again, all right? That, yes, I believe it. It just becomes a part of you. Now, so what God does is to bring you up to the point where you can see something clearly. Do you get what I'm trying to say? What God is doing for you is what? Helping you get to the point where you can see something clearly. Now, as I was thinking about this, something came to my mind, and that's about the issue of seeing again. I said that, you know, I was somewhere this morning and I was teaching, and I taught them again from Romans chapter 12, because I was supposed to, in fact, the topic was living and holy sacrifice, all right? Presenting your body as a living sacrifice. So I was teaching from there, but there's something I brought out to them, which is just in line with what I'm talking about now, and that's the fact of renewing of your mind. I explained to them that, you see, let me explain it again. You know what a mind is? For those of us who don't understand, when the Bible talks about renewing your mind actually is your viewpoint, your frame of reference, the way you think about life. And a good example I like to use to explain that again and again is this. If you see an adult running in the afternoon, all right, either he's chasing something or something is chasing him. Now, this is what I'm going to say. Now, the reason why the man is running is his mind. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That is, you want to do... Now, this is an example I gave them. That when I was 7, one of my colleagues, he said that his greatest fear in life is the fear of poverty. That's the greatest thing that worries him in this life. He's afraid of being poor. Therefore, everything he wants to do in life, you know, is engineered towards curing poverty. Now, he was a medical doctor, of course. He was a batch before me. Now, it was known in that community. I was one of those who found out late that he terminated every pregnancy that they wanted terminated. He was an abortion doctor. Very common amongst young men. You know why? The procedure is very short. For a skilled person, it's next to no risk. And he earns his money. Now, he testified to me, listen to this, that when he was a house officer, before he did youth service, his friends used to do it. He's a Catholic young man. Therefore, his sense of morals that he was brought up with, all right, told him what he was doing was wrong. What they were doing was wrong. He wasn't doing it. Now, listen to that. He wasn't. So much that even when patients would come to him and he would refer them to his friends that did it, and the boys come to give him a cut of the deal, all right, he wouldn't even take the money. That's how strong his mind was on such things. But you see, behind that was his fear of poverty. Now, you are following my point. Eventually, his fear of poverty overcame his desire for righteous life, because he saw that righteousness was not producing cash. And you, if you understand that, I'm talking about 1992 precisely, what I'm talking about now, 1993. So then, I mean, Coppers Alawi was, I mean, I think we started NYC on 350 a month. I think that moved to 700 sometime somewhere along the line. And even when you've left youth service, life was not much better. And the man considered it. And he said, man, you know what he now began to do? He began to sear his conscience. Are you getting my point? Now, why did he go that far? It was because he had a mindset, the fear of poverty. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is why God emphasized on the renewing of the mind. Actions, that's why I said that thing about the man in the afternoon. Actions are secondary to the mindset, because a mind that is set in the wrong place can produce any kind of nonsense action. It may not do it now, but you don't know where it will get to tomorrow. Do you understand my point? And this might help young women. In fact, I don't know why I just feel like saying young women now. If you're, you know, just hear how a man, no matter how nice a man is, that's why they say don't marry an unbeliever. No, that's why. Because of that thing in the heart. Do you get my point? The reason being that, you see, a man may not be perfect now, but if he has the right spirit, do you get my point? You'll be amazed at where he can get to on the positive side. And a man may not be imperfect now, but if he has a wrong spirit, you'll be amazed at the gall, at the bitterness that can come out of his life. And that's why God emphasized so much about what? The mindset. He said, be renewed. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm trying to emphasize the meaning of that word mind again. And that is that, see, why are you doing what you are doing? What are your goals in life? What are the things that matter to you? Do you get what I'm saying? That is, those are the things that eventually come out as actions in your life. So God said, listen, renew your mind. That is how you transform yourself. As you are changing the way you see things. I'm emphasizing this to bring out the issue. That is a matter of viewpoint. Do you understand my point? That is, from which point are you viewing life? Don't forget that story I told several times. That a man saw a young boy admiring his car. Told the boy, you like my car? The boy said, yes. Said, my brother gave it to me as a birthday present. Said, the boy said, do you know what I'm thinking? The man said, yes. You are thinking that one day your brother will give you a car like this as a present. And the boy said, oh no. I'm thinking that one day I will be a brother to give a car like this to one of my brothers as a birthday present. And when I saw that, they said, see the world from a different angle. That's the point I'm coming to. See the world from a different viewpoint. Where you are standing, all right, and looking at life decides what you produce out of that life. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. It decides actually what you see. And that's something I said last time about the walk with God, which is what builds our faith. What God does for you is to move you from one point to the other, helping you to see things the way they are supposed to be. Remember I said that thing last time that look, it was God that directed Abraham. He said, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, and look to the west. Abraham before then would have been looking at where he's going next. But God said, no. Look to the north, look to the south, the east, and the west. He said, look at the skies, look at the sand on the seashore. God directed him to what he should see. And once he was looking at where God said he should look at, are you getting my point? Then in his heart, the faith was being built up so that by the time Isaac was born, and Isaac was growing, and God said, go and kill Isaac. The visions of his descendants, get my point, the visions of the land that they were going to inherit, the number and multitude of them could not be killed in his heart. So even though you killed Isaac, do you get what I'm saying? Even though you killed Isaac, the guy could not get away from the visions of God in his heart. Therefore, he wasn't afraid to kill Isaac. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That is, what God had done was to help him to see. And that's why we read again from Isaiah chapter 55. And this is the assignment for the life of the believer. I may seem to be going over what I've said in previous times, but it is so important we explain this. Because in the last few days, I told you I went for a convention. You know, that's why I was not around last Saturday. Things happened during the convention that I just said, no, look, this thing is, I am so, how do I say this? PDP can do what they want. NIA can do what they want. They can't make the country collapse. Are you getting my point? People can try all kinds of troubles. It's too late now. There is a force of faith in the hearts of some of us that will not let this country scatter. Are you getting my point? You know, like I shared with those of us who are here on Monday, I said that we started, well, God helped use me to bring up the idea, and there and then they started an investment club in which people were supposed to pay money in. And one of the young men appointed is a company, all right? A limited liability company that was started. One of the young men appointed on the board of directors. He called me a few days after the convention just to see whether I had gotten home, just to greet me. And I told him that, you know what I see? I said, that company must be worth over ₦1 billion in less than 10 years. He made a statement. He said, for the amount of money we are putting in, I think 10 years is long. He said, on a personal note, I intend to do it in 5. And I'm not putting as much money into life as that. And you know, in my heart, I said, what did he say? But he said, either I said 5 or 10. But what he was saying is that, personally for myself, I will do it. How much more for that amount of money that we are pouring in? Then as soon as he said it, listen, I didn't feel like, this guy, his heart is big. No. In my heart, I said, like, this guy is in the spirit. That's what I just thought. That this guy is flowing. People will, normal people will start sitting down and looking and saying that, what does he have? What do people want to do? But I said, that one a story. Let me explain something to you. I told the guy who's acting as the chairman of the board, all right? I said, everything you have done in your life up till now is to qualify you for something that God wanted to do and he planned before you were born. Do you get my point? So the thing of what will you do, what will you not do, is absolutely irrelevant. Do you get my point? You will discover it when you get there. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. That is, you will discover. It is not like, okay, what plans do you have? That's what I'm emphasizing about God, a walk with God. You think the mistake we make is that we think that we are cooking up ideas for God. You see, you don't know the meaning of the... You know what it means when you say God is always? It means you can't outthink him. You can't think... Oh, let me say this. You can't think ahead of him. It is not possible. You can't come up with an idea that was not in his mind first. You can't. You don't have the ability. Both as a natural person and as a spiritual person, you do not have the ability to conceive what God had not planned. Are you getting my point? Now, look at it from that perspective. Are you not telling me now that if God plans something, it cannot be done in 10 years? It can't be done in 5 years. That's why I say a day with God is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. That is, what you expected to be accomplished in 1,000 years, God can do it in a day if the heart of men are ready. You know what he said? That God is not slow concerning his promises, but he's waiting for people to repent. What is repent? Now, let's get back there. Romans chapter 12. What it means is that let them change their minds. That the problem is that they have not changed their minds. Let me tell you something. Something happened to me. I think that God has been teaching me, especially in the area of material things and finance this year. All right, so I don't lose some things that we learned long ago. I went to go and book I went to the travel agency yesterday to go and book a flight ticket. When he gave me the bill, I was like, what? Why is it so expensive? He said, sir, you are traveling during the season where flights are very expensive. That if you have traveled a week earlier, just a week, now you save at least maybe $300 on that flight. Of course, you know the natural human response was to instantly want to rearrange your programs so you can live a week ahead. There and then, whether it was the Spirit of God or this training that God had given me, it then just rose up inside me and said, Banky, don't try it. Now, I am staying that week because I have to teach on Saturday here. All right? And hopefully teach on Monday. Push 1 hour break will come on as far away as possible. Are you getting my point? And the first thing that came to a natural human being's mind that, This thing is getting too expensive. So I wanted, naturally, it just snaked into my mind. And I immediately beat it down and said, not here. Now, listen to me. I realized, I said, listen, with God, $1,000 is like $1. And if my life is being funded by God, then I shouldn't even worry at all. That these natural things would not affect, because my program was planned according to serious reasons. The only reason why I wanted to alter it was just to save $300. I said, forget. I said, no, I won't do it. Do you understand my point? Now, why am I bringing that up? that what God had done for me is to change my mind, my mindset. Where I went to preach this morning, at the end of the program, the person who invited me, one of my senior colleagues in the office, you know, he called me, said what he had planned for this program was that the whole inside so and so place. Because he called me late earlier in the week and said, please, we have changed the venue of that program. It's not going to hold in our church premises. He said, but unfortunately, a lot of my colleagues, that's what he was telling me, that they changed it because, I said, the place you are going to, is it so expensive? He said, no. It's just that for some people, that the idea of spending money is a problem. That is... He said they just wouldn't agree to spend, that he wanted everybody to camp somewhere a bit further out of town so that for the 2 days that they are there, they will sleep there overnight, one night. But for those 2 days, they will have nothing else to do but study the word of God and pray. I mean, somebody was preaching when I got there. As soon as the person finished, they prayed. Then I came up to preach. As soon as I finished preaching, they prayed. And by the time I was entering my car to go, somebody else started preaching. All they were doing was infusing with the word. So he was telling him that he wanted that thing to just be secluded out of every distraction for just 2 days. He said he doesn't understand why people cannot just understand that money can be spent. And you know, he said they think that sitting down like this and that interacting, that is like if you have to spend money on that, is a waste of time. Now, are you getting my point? Listen, I have found this one out. Until your heart can let things go, God doesn't let things flow through your hands. So he didn't paint the man that, look, well, the program is still going on very well, that he was very blessed by my teaching, the teaching they've been having, they've really been blessed, and he thanks God, but that, he wanted it to be better than it is happening right now. But because the heart of men have, this is where I'm going to again, have not been transformed, therefore there was a limitation to what God could do for them. Do you follow the point I'm making? So what makes 1,000 years like 1 day with God? Or what makes God do what he could do in 1,000 years in 1 day? Or let me put it that way around. Why would what God could have done in 1 day last 1,000 years? He says, waiting for all men to repent. Do you get my point? To change their mindsets, change their heart attitudes, then they can receive from heaven what God wants to do on the earth. Do you get my point? Listen, no. Material things are material. They really are not real. The only thing that is real is spiritual. Do you follow what I'm saying? Therefore, if, you know, Satan, or don't let me even say Satan, the world, that's a better word, present material things to you as if they are so mighty and they are so big. You are getting my point? But God said, those things are, they are transient. What matters is the thing of the spirit. That is, maybe you are sitting down there. Maybe somebody is actually sitting down there. You'll be applying for jobs. They finally gave you a job, either as a university lecturer or a secondary school teacher. And you thought that that was a temporary job. And you are hearing me say it right now, that the job is not temporary. Listen to me, it's permanent. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. Listen, it's permanent. It's not temporary at all. Take that job. Are you hearing me? Take it. Do it well. You know what God is saying? I want to open a university for you. I want you actually to open at least 2 universities for me. I want you to open universities that will train people properly and people will come from all corners of the world to attend. Do you get my point? Therefore, I have given you a job now. And that's a secondary school teacher. Oh, so university teacher, whichever one. Then, now I finish saying this. Pastor Banky, do you know what my salary is? You see, that is the beginning of the problem. You are beginning to, you know, you look at maybe your neck and say, nobody builds things like this from this kind of salary. And I'm telling you that nobody builds it from that kind of salary. Agreed. But God can build it without any human resources at all. That is, as far as you are concerned. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? He said, all you need is to be able to agree with me that it can be built. Not can be built, because anybody, if you say, can God do it? You know, everybody say, yes. But that he will do it in my life. And let me tell you the assignment. The assignment is not to start networking like which big men will float, will bring out the money. Because material resources will be used. Are you getting my point? No, God said this is the assignment. When you wake up in the morning, if you go to the internet, after you finish sending your mails or checking a few things, then start browsing every university site you can find in the world. Start seeing what their admin building looks like. Do you get my point? Look at the admin building. Look at how they admit their students. What are the criteria? What courses do they offer? Oh, no, you don't like that course. No, start imagining it. When you finish, when your cyber time is up, shut down and go home. When you see a mag, or if you see admission, that's adverts in newspaper, check the university that's asking for it. Check the criteria they are putting down for admitting students. Check the one that is good, the one that is bad, and say, no. When we start, we won't do this, and drop it. It didn't say save money. Have you heard save money? Everything I'm saying, nothing. When you go for a program, I say, put up your hand. One thing that you want God to do for you, stop embarrassing God with stupid requests. God, just give me a new pair of shoes. No, if you want to ask for something under anointing, ask for a difficult thing. Are you getting my point? Do like Elisha. Elisha was well schooled. Elijah said, what do you want me to do for you? Elijah thought he would say that, you know, all these people will be walking around. I don't have a house. So why don't you prophesy that God will build me 2 houses? Elijah would have been very, very happy. He would have bent down, believe me, and picked up sand and said, bring out your hand. This sand, as I give it to you, do not let it drop until you get down to Nineveh or Jerusalem. And then they pour it down, and you shall see a house there after 1 year. But the man said, I want 2 times your anointing. Ah, Elijah said, that was not what I meant. Now, I'm bringing out the point. You must learn to ask for difficult things under such circumstances. Are you getting the point I'm making? So, now let's go on what I'm saying. So, when you get to a place and they say, okay, what's the one thing you want God to do for you? You put up your hand, say, pray, believe God for that thing. Say, dear Lord, 2 universities in Nigeria, international class. Say to that 3 people around you will be embarrassed. Their prayer will stop like, sir, what did you say? So you heard me right. Don't forget what we said. Jesus said that when you pray, that is, the thing will be birthed by prayer and by faith. Are you getting the point I'm making? Then when you leave there, you continue looking. I like one thing they said that this man used to do. I read his story, actually, Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts said, because God commanded him to build a university, every town he went to preach, he would ask them, is there a university in this town? They'll say yes. Then he will go and visit it. That is, if he came all the way to Nigeria to preach, as soon as he lands in Lagos, after doing his preaching, he will ask them, please, is there a university in this town? They'll say yes. Where is it? He said, actually, we have 3. He said, one by one, he will visit all of them. You know what he was doing? God told Abraham, walk around the land. So what he was doing, that he was walking around. He was walking what? Around. And it's so important you understand this. Because what is created materially is that which is first formed in the heart. Do you get my point? Now let me continue this thing I'm saying. From Isaiah chapter 55. Have we gone back to it? No, I said you should go back there, right? So God was saying that there is a way I do things. He said, when I want to bring forth results on the earth, I want seed to go to the sower and bread to the eater. He said, this is what I do. Human beings love to struggle. He said, but for me, I don't do it like that. What I do is I send a word. He said, why you have not been able to do it the way I do it is because you don't think the way I do. Are you getting my point? Now listen to this. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And you don't walk the way I walk. My ways are not your ways. Therefore, you have not been able to get results the way I normally would get them. Are you getting the point I'm trying to bring out from this scripture? Now, this is what I want to understand. You know, we read this in Romans chapter 12. What God does for people, like I explained earlier in training your faith, is simply to start, you know, I said earlier, to change your viewpoint. Are you getting me? Now, what he's doing actually is to change the way you think. That's the same thing. Look, I like to say this because it helps us a lot as an illustration. Take the realm of business as an example. You know, yesterday morning, today's morning, I was listening to Pastor Podi on TV, and he said something, and just said, this is exactly what you have been saying. And I can't remember what he said around it, but there was something he said. He said, there are great ideas. Now, listen to this. I want to just use that to introduce what I want to say. That there are great ideas that God wants to bring to the earth through people. All right? Great things that he wants to do. But as soon as they finish discussing the idea, somebody comes in and says, so how much are we making from it? Are you getting the point? And that instantly, when they find out that they are not making much from it, they walk away. Now, let me go on with my message. You know what happens? There and there, the grace, you know, Isaiah said like this, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. He said that when God created people, he said when they expire, what has happened is that the spirit of God departs from them. That the spirit goes back to him that sent it. Now, I'm trying to bring out something here. When you make statements like that, what happens is that the spirit that God has sent with that idea into your heart departs. Then suddenly the thing becomes difficult. And you think it's a justification for your standpoint. I don't know whether you get my point. Let me go back again. So they say, let us do this thing. We want to build houses so that we solve accommodation problems, say in Enugu as an example. Instantly somebody said, how much money are we going to make from it? And we do a quick computation and the money is rather small. Do you understand? And then I said, I bet this thing is not good. I told you before that faith, God trains the heart of love in faith. Can you remember when I said that? That is, the widow of Zarephath, my good example, was not a woman of great faith. She was a kind woman. And one way or the other, God taught her to believe the prophet when he will arrive. It may have been by vision. And you know the interesting part? If it was by vision, it is not possible to doubt. Oh, let me explain what I'm saying. Let me explain what I'm going to say there. Let us assume now, as we are here. No, after this meeting. Let's assume you're at home. You dreamt. You slept one night. That one of your uncles that you haven't seen, he lives in Port Harcourt. You haven't seen him in the last 6 years. You dreamt that he came to Enugu. All right? He drove down in one very nice, small Toyota Corolla. 2005 model. All right? And now, it's a dream. And the man said that, what's your name again? Chibweze. So say, Chiboy. Wow, I've not seen you in a long time. And I heard you got married last year. I'm sorry I wasn't there. So now that I have come, what do I do for you? Now you're still dreaming. You haven't woken up. And now notice that, you notice that when he came, he was wearing an Armani suit. All right? And he was wearing Brutini shoes. And you notice that his tie was kind of inclined and he was smelling one perfume your friend just brought the other day and told you it was Polo. That's exactly the same thing that was smelling on him. You noticed it in the dream. So in the dream, the man now said that, what do you think I should give you for your wedding now? And he said, uncle, I like this cow. He said, you like it? Do you want it? He said, yes, sir. And the man gives you the keys and said, look, good enough, I'm going back by air. Take. No, it's a dream. And then he woke up and said, dreams now, wow. Very funny dreams. Except that, why are you saying, dreams now, wow. Your bed, your doorbell rings. And you open the door. It's that same uncle driving a 2005 Corolla wearing the same Armani suit, Calvin Klein tie, Brutini shoes, and then the waft of his perfume, Polo. You know instantly, you know he's not living with that car. You know, there's no prayer about it again. Then and then, you just start rejoicing. Uncle, I'm happy to see you. The man's wondering what is going on. He doesn't understand that you dreamt this night. Now, so when he says, what would you like for your wedding? Now listen, if you did not ask that dream, you know what you'll have said? Uncle, anything now, I don't want to bother you. And if he says, will you like some money? You know, you'll have said yes if you didn't have that dream. That is, your faith would not have received that card of his hand. Now, widow of Zarephath, maybe God showed her a dream. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But why will God afford you that kind of experience? Because you see, once you have a vision of God, either as an imagination in your heart, a dream of the night, or as an open vision during the day, you can't doubt. Look, go and read widely. Kenneth Hagin was a prophet. He will tell you that he had a vision in which he called a man who was sitting in front wearing a red shirt. He told the man, come up. This happened to you yesterday. This happened to you yesterday. This happened to you yesterday. And the man said, yes. He said, now, you are sick. Now you are this and that. The man says, yes. He said, now, run down there. By the time you get back here, you are perfectly well. Now, he sees it in a vision. All right? Then he goes to church next day. And he says, he just looks around. And he sights that man wearing red. He doesn't need to hear anything from God. He just calls the man. And starts reciting what he saw in his vision. Now, you know, faith under such circumstances is not an issue anymore. You can't help but have faith. What I'm saying is that there are reasons why God will allow you such experiences. You are getting the point I'm making. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. That is, now, how did I even get to that? I was trying to build up to something. What was it? I hope I've not lost track too much. Okay, now, let me just continue. I'm sure I'll connect in a moment, all right? Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. That you see that, I said, what God is doing all the while is bringing people to a position of faith. It's not as if you were born with great faith. That's why I gave these illustrations. You qualify for him to help you to that level. Are you getting my point? Now, so those people that we are talking about earlier, he said that, so God wants them to do, the moment they start thinking that, what is in it for me? Are you getting my point? The spirit of love is gone. And the Bible says, faith works by what? By love. Now, once that spirit has gone, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. Without that spirit, we're as good as dead. We can't do anything. Life becomes hard for the people. And they say, we need to be like this. But what they didn't understand is that it became like that because of their heart attitude. Because of their mindset. Do you get my point? So what God is doing for you initially in the earliest part of training is helping you to change the way you think about projects. Are you getting my point? This convention I went for, one of the guys who was there, he was making a statement. He said that, I own a company. It makes some money. But if I wanted to make more money, I could sell the company, liquidate it, take all the money, invest it. I know where I would invest it, I would get more money. He said, but it means laying people off. Are you getting my point? He said, I derive more satisfaction from paying the salaries than from making money. Now, these are things that God needs to train people in. Do you understand my point? So that when, if you listen to our spiritual economic series, you see that there I explain some things. What I call the king's heart. Why did God give Solomon what he gave to Solomon? Why did he do it? It was because he said, Solomon asked for anything. And Solomon said that, well, I want to be able to bless these people and bless them thoroughly by being a good king. The heart of love. Are you getting me? Therefore, God supplied a spirit that drew wealth towards him. I'm sure you're following. Now, so, the people just say, so what is in this thing for us? Instantly, they lose that spirit which will have opened their eyes. Because once your eyes are open, that's what I'm trying to explain, then to believe God for something becomes, it's not a matter of difficulty. Now remember where I started from? He said, how will this thing be? Remember the man and the university that I'm talking about? Remember him? Now, so how will this thing be? I said before, you are not as wise as God, so there is no thought that can come to your mind that was not in the heart of God first. Therefore, your prayer is more like, God, what do I need to do so that I can discover the doors that you have opened? I don't know whether you are getting my point. That, okay, so what? So you remember the job I'm talking telling the guys about? All right. So you got a job as a teacher. Say, right now, God said, what you will do is that you will teach so thoroughly. You are following my point? You will teach very, very well. Because what you are doing is you are sowing spiritual seeds into the lives of people. And then I will cause doors to open towards you. And listen, let me just cut the long story short. In a few years, I don't know how many years, because with God, what matters is that each time, for example, God trains you on how to handle many people. The only people you have been managing is your wife and two children. You know, that we say, this man, if you are going to run, you know, academic staff can be difficult to run. Everybody has a brain. Are you getting my point? Yes, everybody feels he's very smart. So if you are going to run a university that has maybe about 500, 1,000 academic staff, you will need more techniques than the one you are using just for your wife and two children at home. They entrain you on that. The day everything, we discussed that, was it on Monday or last Monday, about due season? They were talking about the iniquity of the Amorites. The day you have learned everything that you, then suddenly it begins to